discretion is advised as we cover many an insane movie and numerous cult TV phenomenons. Now, are you ready to get jacked up? Are you with us? Then listen on.
So I'm here with Spence Medby.
Yep.
And Postmaster Radio.
Well, yeah. Well, well. Hello, everyone.
All right.
Couldn't resist there.
The voice of the Who's Line podcast.
And sometimes we need his humor to when we lack reason and logic.
Yep.
Something the world in general is lacking right now. Oh, it's safe to go outside. No, motherfucker, stay inside.
Hey, but by the time this airs, everybody might be outside once again.
Yep, and then they'll close it down again and say 500 more people. And it's a shame we can't give them points for failing. World's worst. there you go. Let's do the Corona hoedown. And there have been some wonderful Corona parody videos. Some of them I'm like, oh my God. That was so well thought out. That rhymed wonderfully. Now I'm singing it every day when I go to work when I shouldn't be even singing that. Thank God there's no, you know, radio or button to accidentally press.
So take
it again. Since we're ranking our performers, it's all these people who have been on the show for a while, what would you say, did you only know them from this show, or did you have some prior knowledge of them before you started watching or becoming aware of Who's Line?
Well, for me, I think I knew of Mike McShane in Richie Rich before. Knowing about the UK Who's Line. Mike McShane was, of course, in the live-action Richie Rich movie that was back in the mid-90s with Macaulay Culkin playing Professor Keenbean. That was probably my favorite iteration of that character, as, of course, a lot of other people like to think of the other actor who played Professor Keenbean in the Christmas Wish Richie Rich movie. But I absolutely adored Mike McShane in that one. And
he's a great actor in general. And
I forgot what
he's been in, but he's been in like some serious dramas. And I mean, you look at him in the Robin Hood movie from 91 with Kevin Costner and Morgan Freeman.
That's right.
He plays Little John, and he, even though he's kind of more of a, just kind of a rascal, he is actually pretty amusing.
Yeah.
I don't know why he just has, and everyone seems to want to get him mixed up with the similarly named Ian McShane. I'm like, nope,
different guy.
If Ian came on Who's Line, this whole place would be like X-rated. This would be absolutely just cussing up the place, not playing by the rules, probably walk off the set during recording if the producers wouldn't let him play around. I'm afraid of that guy. Even though he's supposedly a nice guy, I'm afraid of him. It's like a Mel Gibson, Charlie Sheen.
He would probably give poor Dan Patterson a heart attack at that
point. Yeah. I'd be like,
bloody hell, the COVID-19 virus didn't kill me, but this is.
Right, there you go. Words can't kill you, but I can. Bloody hell. What was your experience? When did you first become aware of him?
Oh boy. Well,
any of these guys?
If I have to be honest, I think like my first episode of Who's Line, I don't know if it was the Drew hosted or the Aisha Tyler hosted, for probably the Aisha Tyler one, but the first time I watched it in general, I had actually never heard of those. I have never heard of those performers before. Like,
really?
Before Who's Line. Yeah, I can't believe it. Well, except maybe Wayne Brady, given his stint on Let's Make a Deal. But other than hold on. I do remember one other one. Greg Proops. In addition to his amazing work on Who's Line, I will kind of remember him as that Matt style boss from True Jackson VP, that old Nickelodeon show.
Oh, Mr. Madigan, yeah.
I vaguely recall seeing clips for it. I never saw it, but I'm like, okay, cool. I'm glad these guys are still, you know, starring in various comedy stuff. They're just so much like the Mystery Science Theater people. It's like they are beautifully talented.
And I mean, there's plenty of other people who everyone remembers, and then, you know, you see him on a show like Law and Order or Breaking Bad, and everyone's starting to know him there. And I'm like, yeah, but guys, they've been around for over 30 years. Aisha Tyler was another one, and everyone's like, I've never heard of him. I'm like, oh, she's been on everything. Friends, 24, CSI, Criminal Minds now. But I mean, she just was always, I mean, well, when I was watching plenty of other shows, my dad was like, oh, yeah, she's on the, you know, Talks Soup, you know, when they did sports and everything before they had Joel McHale on there. And so it was interesting how we've been coming reacquainted with some of these people.
Yeah. And also Aisha was in a couple of movies too. Just last night, I realized she was in the Santa Claus, Tim Allen's Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Two and three as Mother Nature.
Mm-hmm. And, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. I had to go back and actually watch that for a bit. And lo and behold, she was. She was also in Bedtime Stories too, which was an Adam Sandler flick back in 2008, I want to say.
One of his more watchable ones, but yes. I mean, but it was interesting. Yeah, she's just a brief, thankless role, just joking around.
Yeah.
She's in Death Sentence. I'm not a fan of that movie, but I mean, she was really good in it as the detective who believes the guy's story and knows that she can't help him without breaking the law. Mm-hmm. She's also on the... This was a short-lived TV show, 13, the series, which was on Grill's channel. It was a fun spy show, and it was cool seeing her kick ass, and that was like around the same time she was starting up the Archer character, you know, line.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that's pretty much where everyone just, they always recognize her voice. She is, fortunately, I wish she would do more stand-up, because I know she was doing stand-up, but she's only had, like, one recorded special.
Yeah, she was great. She was great with her stand-up.
And I see other people saying she doesn't have improv skills. I'm like, well, she listed on her resume.
Right. Now, there are people that say that. Come on.
It's very annoying because everyone just sit. Well, and there was a few other comedians I remember, and I told Spence about this before, who seemed very bitter when Whose Line was taking off. And they were always getting annoyed when they would say, oh, I know improv. And everyone would be like, oh, like on Whose Line? It's like, yes, but I was doing it before them. I'm like, well, that's okay, guys. No, we didn't have, this would have never been on TV in the 70s. They were way more restricted back then. So, you know, it came at the right time.
Yeah.
And I mean, aren't you glad it even just happened to begin with? You know, it seems like so many people just, they like to have this whole, you know, so-and-so stole my idea. I'm like, well, maybe so, but even if you had the idea before them, would you have done it as well as, you know, here or there? You know, you just got to take it with a grain of salt and say, let's just take a chill pill. I don't, and I mean, life's too short to harbor any of this jealousy or loathing. I mean,
yeah.
Isn't that what TMZ's for? To appeal to all these low lives who want to see, you know, who slept with who killed who.
TMZ, National Enquirer, whatever.
And it's so cool that a millionaire, you know, who wants to be a millionaire, just came back. And I was like, because I remember just Whose Line would always just play that up. I was like, let's do the millionaire show.
Yeah, they did that a couple of times. Yeah.
It was always so much fun. And looking, you know, I've seen so many movies with various comedians over the years, and I had no idea that Colin Mochrie, one of his first few movie roles was this terrible crime thriller, which can't decide if it wants to be a dark comedy or just a bizarre serial killer movie called The January Man. And at the beginning, he plays a serial killer who kills a gal and then jumps off a cliff and kills himself. It's just like, what the? He doesn't say anything. It's a serious role for an otherwise, you know, goofball comedian.
What's it called?
The January Man. It is one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
I'll have to look that up, actually.
Yeah, well, that's just it. Now that the Whose Line people are in it, it's worth it. It's, you know, money. I will say Aisha's also in Balls of Fury. She doesn't really get to be all that amusing, but she's kind of plays a goofy, straight-faced role there. So it's like, okay. How about Ryan? It's so wild how he's probably been in the most movies out of everyone. Then he stopped kind of doing a lot of stuff and just sticking to voiceovers.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, the Hot Shots movies
actually, hold on. I actually did hear something about Ryan Stiles making a cameo on this. I don't know if you guys are Big Bang fans, but it's been off Young Sheldon. Apparently, he's making a cameo in one of the next few episodes as a doctor or a dentist or whatever.
Yes, as Sheldon's dentist. That's right.
That was
okay. Very nice. Yeah, I know a lot of people aren't crazy about Big Bang, but I definitely think I think Young Sheldon is a good one in terms of
me too.
Just, hey, we don't need the laugh track. We can have a fun, just cute family comedy.
I will say the actor for young Sheldon actually matches the mannerisms of Jim Parsons' character to a T on that one.
That is interesting. And I'm actually surprised Jim hasn't been on Big Bang. I know the Indian guy has, but I mean, it'd be funny if Jim was on Whose Line and he would just totally fuck with everybody.
Imagine if they were both in a scene together, the kid and the adult.
They might do that as a series finale, maybe.
Like, who the fuck are you?
Right.
pull a Newhart on the series finale, have him wake up in bed and have his like younger character standing over him. Did you have a nice sleep?
Oh my god. As long as it's not saying elsewhere where, hey, it was all a dream inside my mind. Everybody wanted to rip that off for a while, even though it was like the most infamous ending to an otherwise good show. Jeez, why are you doing this, guys? Everybody's trying to be all Sixth Sense if they're not trying to be all that. It's just, when you make it be all a dream, everyone again is like, what's the point?
Yeah, pretty much.
What am I supposed to think other than that it was all nothing?
Yeah.
I was just inside the dream. I mean, unless
Kathy David Kinney was on that show.
Yeah. And she was also on, what is it? Not Housewife.
No, you're
getting Diedrich Bader, you know.
Yeah, American Housewives.
American Housewives, yeah. And they had a brief Drew Carey show reunion.
Yeah, that was nice. I saw that.
And the trailer alone was just funny. I was just like, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so that's not a surprise, because, I mean, I've seen, you know, Ryan guest star in plenty of other Chuck Woolery productions, so it's like, yeah.
Yeah, and he was in Hot Shots with both John Cryer and Charlie Sheen.
There you go.
the first one, of course, and then he was just with Charlie in Part 2.
Yeah. stabbing people with a banana.
Yeah.
Just never fails to get me.
With him being with John Cryer and Charlie Sheen, I guess it's sort of now a no-brainer how he got onto 2.5 Men with both of them now.
Yeah, and he talked in one interview how when they did Improvaganza, they were like, did he misbehave? He's like, no, I've never had any inappropriate moment, you know, with Charlie. He's a good friend. I've had a drink with him. So
it was inappropriate moments. That pretty much talked...
That's Whose Line as a whole.
That was Charlie Sheen in the story time, because he botched that entire playing.
Right. So I wouldn't ever ask a comedian what is inappropriate, because I mean, chances are, what their version of inappropriate, I would be, you put up with that shit? Yeah, he's just having.
Okay, you two are going to do a scene about Jeffrey Epstein's Island.
They would set the bar on fire if they were performing at a comedy club.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I always do like how live comedy stuff like that, they will totally mess with the audience. They'd be like, oh, love how you asked me to do this messed up stuff, but then this was too much.
I think we just proved your point there.
Right.
Because we're laughing about Jeffrey Epstein's Island.
Ruining podcasts since
2019. Hey, come here, little kid. Come here, little kid.
Oh, fucking hell.
Oh, we just made a bad turn.
That's all right. They already.
Ellen DeGeneres, save us now.
I guess so. Can you heal us? They did that on the Battlestar Galactica podcast. Someone mentioned that. And they're like, what? I read the dailies. And they're like, oh, you just made this episode darker. It's already a dark enough show.
We'll return after these messages.
Hey, feeling down? Feeling low? Not enough podcasts about movies in your life? Why not try?
They must be destroyed on sight!
The new podcast cure-all, sure to get you right with the world and on a path to better living. We have exploitation, we have Italian horror, we have zombies, we have slashers, we have crime films, we have spaghetti westerns, we even have sci-fi and sex comedies. So take a dose of...
They must be destroyed on sight!
As needed, and let the hosts, Lee Russell, Daniel Harper, Paul Romali, and the odd guest host cure what ails you.
Warning, may cause atrophy. African consumption, black fever, bone shave, chin puff, colic, cramp colic, dropsy of the brain, elephantitis, grocer's itch, jaundice, mania, miasma, mortification, palsy, Pox disease, rheumatism, scurvy, St. Anthony's fire, summer complaint, and worm fit in some people. Consult a physician before listening.
Hey, I heard you like movies.
I heard you like to hustle.
I heard you like podcasts.
Well, guess what?
There's a podcast for you out there called The Home Video Hustle.
Damn right.
Every Friday, we talk about whatever movie PJ picks out the bag. What does that mean? Every Wednesday on our YouTube page, I put a bunch of movies in a bag, and PJ picks one out at random. And then we just watch it. We talk about it for maybe like an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours. Whatever we feel like doing, wherever the conversation leads us.
But do we actually talk about the movie?
Most of the time.
Ah.
Tangents galore.
Yes.
So believe me, we may be a movie podcast, but it's not always about movies. We might talk about video games.
Mm-hmm.
Music. Music. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the big one, music. Sometimes we might get a little bit of politicalness in there.
Yes.
Sometimes we may just, oh, we know what we like to do. We like to tell stories, PJ.
Ah, yes.
I am the master storyteller
yes.
of the podcast realm. Undefeated. So if you like to hear about movies, video games, whatever foolishness comes to our mind, the most random stuff you could think of, check out The Home Video Hustle. You can find us on the Stitchers.
Yes.
The Google Play.
Yes.
Apple Podcasts.
What else?
Podbean.
What else?
Podcast Addict.
Goddamn.
All that. Ain't no reason you can't get your hustle on. We everywhere. Worldwide, baby.
Hustle, mother. Hustle.
Hey, we can't cuss in the promo, PJ.
Ah.
We gotta be family friendly. There may be podcasts out there that don't want his hair to say
ah.
All that good fun stuff.
Well, you.
Yeah. don't run the listeners away, PJ.
Ah, I'm sorry.
But this is going kind of long.
Yes.
So we'll end this and say, hey, check out The Home Video Hustle every Friday on all the various podcast outlets. Peace.
Peace.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster. And while Witch didn't make it to the top of the world, he did make the Gangs of Hollywood podcast. So join the gang and enjoy a movie review podcast about movie gangs, gangsters, mobsters, and the mayhem they cause. You can find GOH Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. At GOHpod, at www.gohpod.com, as well as your favorite podcast listening app. And remember, say hello to your little friend for me.
If you take two old punk rockers who are past their prime, put them in front of a movie screen and give them a podcast, what do you get? Cinema Punks. Cinepunks. It's the mixtape of movies.
Did you ever see a film at such a young age it left you traumatized with cinematic wounds?
Necrophilia.
It's a dead issue, man. Don't push it. Cinema Psyops is a weekly podcast documenting an ongoing experiment on the mind of an unwilling test subject.
No one should have to watch this movie.
Oh, no one should have to watch this?
No one should have to watch this movie.
Surprisingly, it's not a topic that a lot of people really want to tackle.
I'm shocked, prudes.
I know, really.
Right?
It's the next sexual frontier that no one wants to explore.
I am, in the most sincerest of senses, disappointed in you.
It takes a powerful goddess like Connie, jam her arm down the monster's throat and kill it. Oh, I'm still tripping out over that. Even as a kid, I was like, I gotta find a girl like that. Every week, I get a new look of disappointment that I never thought I could get
it's
out of.
Unimaginable. At 12 years old, you should not be watching this movie.
Obviously.
At 13, you should not be. 14, you shouldn't be. I'm not entirely sure even 17-year-olds should be watching this movie.
Just because you're offended by something doesn't mean that you have the right to demand that it doesn't exist. Watching this film again, I had all of this like little nerd glee with everything that kept
little history
up.
Doll yeah, popping up
absolutely.
At you.
So I totally loved this film.
Hey, I know why you couldn't see that. It's because your brain's warped watching this shit at 12 years old.
Yeah, this is a rough movie. I told you ahead of time when we were getting ready to do it that it was.
How did
be a rough
you watch
movie.
This shit at 12?
Because physical wounds heal, cinematic ones don't. Listen to Cinema Psyops.
It's time, let's check our cue, baby. Pair it with a couple brews, baby. We love good movies. We love the bad ones too. So we watch them all and pass their lessons on to you. Oh yeah. Bana 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 bana. Everything I learned from movies helps to make life a little bit groovy. We're the one last plot holes of gratuitous movies. It's time to get busy with your friend Steven Izzy.
At EILFM.podbean.com.
We now continue with our program.
So, it took me years to realize, Greg, going back to him for a minute, that he was the voice of Bob the Builder. As well as
He was on, but he was doing it from like 2005 to like 2007.
Right, and so they just had...
Wasn't the first iteration of Bob, but it was actually mind-blowing to hear that he was the voice.
Yeah, it didn't really sound like him at all. It really didn't.
Yeah.
And being in Star Wars The Phantom Menace, he just, you know, he kept reprising that role of that pod racing announcer. And I always loved how on the show they would even, Ryan just had a running gag. Oh, I've never seen Star Wars. Back to the Future. Any sci-fi blockbuster.
Yeah, Greg was also in The Nightmare Before Christmas doing a couple of voices, like one of them being really? Harlequin. Yeah, he was actually a couple of them, one being the Harlequin demon. And and what's even more interesting is that he voiced it along with another, two other Who's Line UK alumnus. Well, actually, I should call them one time.
Tony Slattery, right?
No, Debbie Durst and then Catherine O'Hara. Catherine, who was the matriarch on... Home Alone, and then she was also in Beetlejuice.
Right. Great gal.
Among other things, yeah.
And it's just so wild how she's been going around on some of these female comedian tours lately and constantly guest starring right now on Alec Baldwin's version of Match Game, which is also outrageous. And has it's definitely tied with Who's Line for the most live show constantly bleeped out or censored. I mean, literally, they will give even just very rude, just like drawings that you're like, we have to censor that. There's just no way that's getting aired. And Wayne was definitely the most interesting one. I was able, when I went about 3 years ago for the whole In the Heat of the Night franchise, he starred on a very unusual two-parter. There's this one. Very reserved kind of kid who witnesses a crime, and you want to talk about just very layered acting. It's like, and I mean, that was before, you know, I mean around the time he was, you know, guest starring on other stuff, and then you know, working at Disney World, getting laid, and then the Who's Line gig came along.
Yeah,
true story. I remember him musing about it when I saw him in concert in 2015. But
what'd you say, Postmaster?
No, I thought you were joking for a minute there. Actually, he really worked at Disney?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was Tigger.
Yes. I mean, he got really, really just like blatant with it. He's like, he didn't hold back. He's like, all right, you asked. I shouldn't have told you the story, but you asked. And I'm glad he did, because, I mean, I do get it. Annoyed. I mean, I'm not saying I got to hear everyone's sob story, but at the same time, I do get annoyed when I see everyone act like, oh, everyone's got it good. I'm like, no, they didn't. They worked hard for that, you know?
Yeah.
They busted their ass. So he's been in some of my favorite guest appearances on various other shows. You know, he was on an episode of 30 Rock, playing a very unusual dude. And going back for a minute, he's also in one of my favorite episodes of one of the first roles I think I saw him outside of Who's Line, which was Stargate SG-1.
Yep.
And I've told Spence before, I'm still been trying to find clips of his show. I can't find it anywhere, not even, you know, legal bootleg DVD copies.
Really?
Yeah, I can only find like one or two clips of someone guest starring. I'm like, I want to see an actual skit.
That's okay. I'm trying to find the five shows that the Who's Line cast was on for Hollywood Squares. You can't find that anywhere.
I know. And it was, used to be oh, way more.
The thing.
Apparently, he has been recently on the show Colony.
Has he?
Yeah.
Really?
On USA Colony? Network. Yeah, on USA Network. I haven't been watching that because I'm not crazy about the one of the lead stars, but I mean, I'll give it a go. Bad acting can't harm a otherwise good show. I do remember him being like the adopted brother James on How I Met Your Mother.
Yes.
And he was in this one indie film in 2013 called 1982 about this father, and he was being a total loan shark dude with a fedora hat, and it was interesting.
Wasn't he on Everybody Hates Chris?
I think so.
I think he was the uncle on that show.
Yes, there you go. Lewis.
Yeah. Yes.
Like two
yes.
episodes. He's in a very underrated... He's also in this one show episode of Dirt, but I didn't watch that show because it wasn't very enjoyable. But, I've
never heard of that show.
It was the one with Courtney Cox and Jeffrey Nordlund. It was on FX, and they were being all edgy. And oh, like,
that's why but you're, heard of
it. Well, that's just it. And it's just pretentious. It's like, okay. Because you're forgetting everything. I mean, there was plenty of other shows that were on that network, but I mean, they were absolutely just forgetting everything that made, you know, shows like Rescue Me and The Shield work. It was like, it wasn't that you were shocking. It was that there was such a layering and you were using this, you know, we can do mostly whatever to create a gritty narrative that addicts people and makes them come back. I mean, those were the Breaking Bad of the early 2000s, you know?
Yeah.
It's just so annoying. He's in Roll Bounce as the DJ, has a real funky hairdo. And I would always see at a used gas station just The Adventures of Br'er Rabbit, where he plays Br'er Wolf.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I'm like, no way I'm going to force myself to go for that. But, you know, you never know. I love Who's Line.
This was a really weird movie that I think it was from like maybe 2002, 2003. And it was called Food Fight, which had the supermarket mascots. And he played the chocolate squirrel as the comic relief in the movie.
Daredevil
and
Dan.
Now, this was a low budget, like family friendly sausage party, if you want to think about it.
Right. And he plays Daredevil Dan.
Yeah. Yeah. And the biggest thing on there was that the budget was $65 million, and it only made $73,000 in the box office.
Well, that, and I mean, you look at all the other famous people they got in there, you know. So
yeah, they got
like,
Charlie Sheen in that. They had
Cloris Leachman, Harvey Thurston,
yes.
and Jerry Stiller. But my main issue is it's like it was trying to be like South Park, but it's like, I mean, at least South Park just didn't give a shit about its animation, made that part of the joke, and it's like, this one is like, the budget pretty much went to all the voice talent, and they couldn't even get an even remotely watchable
budget. Well, went to that, and then half of the animation, and then they spent like almost no time on like the scripting and the plot.
Mm-hmm. It's just a shame when that happens. Does anyone ever watch any cartoons? I don't really watch too many, but I made exceptions on rare occasions. I did like the Scooby-Doo cartoon he was in called Stage Fright, where he plays the meddling stage actor or stage hand who might be trying to kill someone. So it was a voice.
There's a couple out there, but Postmaster, do you have any favorite?
Oh wait, hold on, for the cartoons?
Yeah.
I actually didn't know that the Who's Line people did cartoon work, so
Yeah.
I mean, there's some.
Out later after the podcast.
Let's see, Ryan Stiles in a Rugrats episode.
Yes. Oh.
I forgot what episode it was. Let me see if I can bring it up real quick.
Well, more importantly, I mean, some of these guys have also done a lot of stuff for Funny or Die.
Yes. Yeah.
Ryan was in this hysterical thing, like video games or inappropriate stuff you don't show your parents, and he's playing like the dad who doesn't care. It's like, it's sports, so it's normal. Wayne was in this hysterical parody of Ice Cube's It Was a Good Day, where called Crispus Attacks, Today Was a Good Day, and he plays basically this black slave master who's going around, you know, fucking other people and just beating them up. It is just so messed up, and I mean, he's just totally going for it. He doesn't care. He was also a voiceover in The Legend of Spyro, Dawn of the Dragon video game.
Yes, that's right.
Did anyone ever see the list, a 2007 indie he did?
I don't think I have.
Okay, so basically he plays an ad executive who basically tries to find the perfect gal. And he's playing against Sidney Tamiya, who's, you know, Sidney Poitier's daughter. And it was a really fun movie. And I just guffawed because, I mean, at one point, one of the other ad executives is none other than Chucky himself, Brad Dourif, because I was like, I can name numerous times when Wayne referenced Chucky on Whose Lines. I was like, funny how he's seen him in there. And just about all these guys have been on Key and Peele. I even guffawed one day when one of the final episodes they aired, and they were like, this guy's balder than Colin Mochrie. I'm like, oh, someone's going to get that joke. They've all done various voiceovers for various Seth MacFarlane shows. So it is cool that they've been around enough. And Wayne, I did appreciate more as I got older, because he ended up doing some, you know, CD albums. I kid you not, I bought like 3 different copies of his one pop R&B album. And I mean, you want to talk about diversity. It's like he was wonderful. He just really nailed it.
yeah, definitely.
Going on to the next one, because I don't want anyone to accuse us and say we hogged it, you know, this person over that. He's been on The Masked Singer a lot lately, which I did not expect, as well as Black Lightning playing Grave Digger.
Oh yeah, about that. Yeah, I think I actually saw a clip of that. I thought he did a pretty good job at that, if you ask me.
I would believe it. I mean, and he's definitely the geeky kind, you know? And I mean, it's fortunate enough that they're able to go to a dark place as well as be on all these other just kind of, you know, Batman cartoon shows, as well as for more or less even just, you know, Disney stuff. And then when they had to leave the Disney house, almost all of them have made at least one or two guest appearances playing various people on Reno 911.
Oh yeah.
But Wayne, has anyone, or do we have any sci-fi buffs here? He's on one of my favorite shows, Stargate SG-1, as the villain of the week, and, you know, being one of those Jaffa aliens with the emblem on his head. And and it's awesome because prior to that he had like Richard Dean like in an O3 interview to talk about Stargate SG-1, so I wonder if that he lended an invite saying, hey, want to be on my show, come on. And so he's been on a bunch of other Canadian productions. He is on a hysterical episode of Psych where he's playing the host of a dating game show. And he's one of the suspects, I think, but it's just awesome seeing him be in the same scenes as James Rodet and Dooley Hill. And just talent, talent, talent all on screen. So let's go to Jeff Davis. I know we know a lot about him. He's been on plenty of other shows, and for the longest time, the IMDb always credited him as Jeff Brian Davis, so I was always getting confused, just like with Chip versus Charles Esten. I'm like, okay, which is it?
Yeah.
And apparently, it was kind of like a J. Elvis Weinstein kind of thing, where basically he had a name, there was a celebrity who had another name, so he had to essentially just, it's like, I'm going to just be Jeff Bryan. And wow, this Wikipedia page is so up to date, noting his various Chris Walken and Keanu Reeves impressions. I was totally going to mention that. I've been seeing that a lot lately, as a matter of fact. he was kind of the youngest.
Shut your mouth. Shut your mouth.
Yeah. Holy fucking shit. He was Linus and You're a Good Man, Charlie.
He was actually in, if I remember correctly, Rick and Morty at one point.
Oh, yeah.
This meeting will end in 10 minutes.
Wow.
Fuck you, Zoom. I knew it. Give me a freebie. We're on a 40-minute time limit, but that's okay. So I'm going to let you talk about some other stuff. I
thought they would waiver that, at least.
Yeah, well, they gave me one or two goes. Jeff, I remember from he's been working with Dan Harmon a lot lately, and even hosted, I was one of the performers in an Evening with Monty Python special, but I'll definitely remember him the most I think Spence, you pointed out he was on Fuller House and you showed me a clip. He was on an episode of Suits as well.
For that that El Explosivo thing.
Mm-hmm. He's in this very underrated 2004 horror movie that was very unusual. Let me look it up real fast before they fucking kick us off.
We could always make another room anyway.
Yes, let's go another room for it. He's in this very
your way into it.
It's called Evil Remains, and that's a fun role for him because he flat out gets to just be a total just party on. He's so full of shit. Called on the phone and he gets brutally fucking murdered. It's also known as trespassing, but you should be able to find it for free to watch on IMDb and YouTube. Not unwatchable. It's not screen level or I Know What You Did Last Summer good, but it's an interesting low budget oddity, and it's just worth seeing just how, you know, you can make a low budget movie and show how, you know, what happens to people who, you know, don't have a good sense of reality. But it's also not, you know, best of the year either. It's just a fun low budget oddity. I think out of the most, it's kind of been a shame that Drew just kind of stopped acting as much. He just stuck to hosting. But at the same time, I mean, he is one of those, everybody knows him and wants to be like him. He's that, you know. And I did like how he made a surprise appearance on NCIS as a military veteran who's going after this one guy who's talking shit about Marines. And it really was emotional. And I mean, I'm not saying he got all down on his knees and cried, but he just fly out. I'm like, damn, that's deep. That's coming from somewhere. Just wrapping it up, I would say probably the ones who have surprised me the most have definitely been the likes of, not Wayne, but also Chip Esten. He's probably had the most diverse amount, you know, being on various HBO shows, various other TV shows. And now that he's not on that one country show anymore, he's now just doing the rounds, doing some other stuff that's very unexpected. But I mean, I think he's definitely gone the most places because he's just always been a trooper, always been an absolute chameleon, especially in the sketches. He has been just like, wow. I didn't know he could do that. It's just the most surprises per minute. And don't get me wrong, by default, everyone is going to be surprised, but he definitely surprised me the most. I'm just like, I did not expect that from him. As a whole, if you had to, I'll let you do a quick ranking of where everyone is in terms of career. So I'll let you go first, Postmaster.
A bit of a tough one.
You can have a tie, but I mean, you gotta go with someone.
You know, one with the best career right now, if we're not including the host, like performer wise, probably, I would say Wayne. Maybe I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, that's fair. Him or Chip, maybe even Ryan, because Ryan's done so many different
Wayne,
kinds.
Wayne,
of...
Chip, or Ryan, pretty much.
Yeah, fair enough.
Okay.
Oh, we're forgetting Jonathan too. I mean,
Jonathan was a total chameleon. I mean, he, much like Jeff, he had been on pretty much anything Wayne or Drew was involved with and would be on some other Comedy Central stuff, as well as the Sarah Silverman program. I'm like, wow, okay. Yeah.
Not to mention that him and Wayne were both in an episode of Clarissa Explains It All back in the 90s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Wayne was the pizza man in another episode, and then Jonathan was Clarissa's blind date in one of her scenarios in
the
blind date episode.
You're talking classic Nickelodeon.
Oh, yeah.
that just shows you the history, and that's a beautiful thing. It really is, just to see.
It really
is. Because how often can anyone say, you know, I go to work and I dick around for, you know, 2 to 5 hours with my friends?
That's exactly. They get paid to do. It's incredible.
So when Colin said that they don't hang out that much with each other than, you know, like an after show, I'm like, oh, you gotta be kidding me. I thought you went, you know, you guys lived next door for a while. This is how lovely.
They're Zoom things Monday night, so at least that's something.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So, Postmaster.
Which I have now become the mod of now. I was speaking to Jonathan earlier. We were talking about how fast that chat goes and how the questions, and you know, some people are kind of unruly, and I offered them right there. I was like, I could help you out and mod the chat for you, and filter some of the questions for them as well. And he said, sure, just send the questions my way, and we'll get you on there.
Well, no, that is good, because I mean, everyone acts like, oh, I got to be a personal assistant. It's like, no, if there's a personal fan that you know, I mean, that is how it happens more or less. People refer each other, and it's like, well, I'm comfortable talking to you, so if you can talk to them for me, then, you know, game on.
There was a moment in the chat where there was this one person that kept asking Colin, it kept going unnoticed, but it was like, Colin, what sound does an Arctic Tern make? What sound does an Arctic Tern make? Like, stop.
Oh. Yeah, he's so not going to reply to you if you keep trolling him with the same question.
No, not at all.
And if it's just a random one, I mean, he's just like, well, you know, I'm not on set right now.
I mean, it's not like somebody's going to remember something that happened in the middle of a taping back in 2001.
Yeah, impossible. Not going to happen. Yeah. Sometimes it might, but I mean, what
sometimes,
are the times?
I will give you that.
Back.
Well, and again, I mean, celebrities are, I mean, they might not be like us, but they are the same where in terms of reacting to stuff, where it's like, who the hell is this guy?
Yeah,
I'm not sure if this is spam bot or is this a real guy. So, Postmaster, where can we find you on the interwebs?
Oh, yeah. Well.
Besides,
this is your time to plug. We got 3 minutes on the clock, and go.
Yeah, so you can find my my Who's Line Highlights podcast on Squeaker and Spotify now. And I've got a new podcast coming out in a couple of days. So those of you that follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Postmaster Radio, you know where to find me. Keep checking back. A new episode will be on the way in the next couple of days. Can't wait.
You got it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, brother.
And Spence, where can we find you?
Well, you guys know me. I mean,
yes, I do, but do.
you'll find me on Twitter as 12MedB. You'll find me on there on YouTube as well. Hopefully, by the time that this airs, I think you said July it might air, but hopefully by then we'll be through this virus mess and I'll be doing my own improv show on YouTube. Hopefully that'll be starting up when this mess just ends. But yeah, you'll find me on the Twitter. You'll find me on the YouTubes. You'll find me on YouTube. But
okay.
And hopefully next time we'll do this on Skype instead of time limited Zoom.
Yeah, I know. What Jordan wanted is like, you got to do Zoom. I can't do Skype. I'm like, well, Skype doesn't time it.
Obviousness, but didn't think the timing thing would be an issue.
To be fair, they've been giving us freebies for a while, and then you're like,
that's
nope,
true. That's true.
It. You're done, motherfucker. No more. Pay us. Okay, so thank you all for making this appointment. I'll love to have you on again. I definitely want you to hang out with the Two Guys One Canuck where we discuss the best and worst sitcoms. We pretty much just take a vote. Is this funny or is this garbage? and knowing them, that they are absolute improv comedians where you don't know what's going to come out of their mouth, and they yet are able to somehow tell a story. All right, well, that's all, folks. Thank you for joining the show, and ta-ta for now.
See you later.
The Jacked Up Review Show can also be followed on Facebook on both the page and the group. Feel free to chat, leave questions, make requests for future episodes. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Thank you so much for your various support, and we'll continue to entertain the hell out of you. Till then, take care.